Well, good evening, or good morning, or good afternoon, or good grief. My name is William Lawson, and welcome to the program. We appreciate you being here on Blog Talk Radio. This is a Blog Talk Radio native program. We don't do many of these, unfortunately, anymore. It has a lot more to do with Blog Talk Radio is in transition and doesn't really work all that well sometimes. But we're going to try again here today. We want to pre-record this and see if the upload sounds good and sounds better. Now, if you'll do me a big solid, if you'll go ahead and email me at wls860@gmail.com, wls860@gmail.com. That was my back making that noise because I'm old. And let me know what the audio sounds like where you are. That would be very, very helpful. I want to talk, and I've not brought this up on here on Blog Talk Radio. I've brought it up on all of the other platforms of fightbackmedia.com, and I've not brought it up here. But I want to bring it up here now. On February 23rd, Ahmaud Arbery was shot dead by a white homeowner while walking down a public street. Now, I know a lot of times media and the left oversimplify things. You know, they say that somebody got choked out for selling cigarettes, for selling single cigarettes. It's not why he got choked out. And I don't even think he got choked out. I think that he had heart disease and ended up dying because he had congenital heart failure. Because I've been there where I was able to scream, I can't breathe, which means that you can actually breathe. You know, air, vocal cords, all that stuff works. But we simplify things, oversimplify them sometimes for shock value. I'm trying not to do that with the Ahmaud Arbery case. You know, the initial thing was that he was a jogger going down the street and these two white men attacked him or tried to stop him and ended up killing him. Well, that's not the whole story. But even when you add the, quote, rest of the story, what still matters is that for seemingly no reason at all, the elder, McMichaels, a former police officer, ended up, his weapon, his shotgun or whatever it was, ended up going off and killing Ahmaud Arbery in the street, in the middle of the street, in the middle of the day. It's just... Now, you saw the title of this program and you're wondering, who am I going to say got this wrong? Well, I'll tell you. The people who got it wrong, I believe, were not the white liberals. Now, why they got it right here, that's a whole other discussion. I don't think the white conservatives got it wrong either. Many, many white conservatives called this a killing and said it was unjustified. Many of them. I think the new, radical, and I'm using that word in the best of terms, black conservatives, HOTEP conservatives, got this right. I think that a lot of the black conservatives that have audiences that they believe somehow want them to toe a line or produce a narrative, I think they got it wrong. So who am I talking about? And I've been saying this all along, but I don't think it's really doing any good. I don't want to get into a scrap with Blexit or Candace Owens or Brandon Tatum or any of those folks. I just don't want that. Some people want that. I don't. I really don't. Because frankly, most of the time, these people, I agree with 80% of the time. This particular instance, it is my feeling that they got it wrong. That they either waited too long, and I've been known to wait, see what happened here, when we have a situation like this. But they waited too long, and they've still not sided on the side of freedom and liberty, which is my biggest problem. My problem is that they have not sided on the side of freedom and liberty. They have not. They continue to side on the side of the narrative, the white liberal narrative, frankly, that black people, especially black men, are predators and dangerous. That they are animals and should be made to heal. Right, Hillary Clinton? Right? Right, Bill Clinton, with the crime bill that locked up a lot of young black men for nonviolent drunk crimes and for whatever the hell else, as these for-profit prisons are popping up all over the place, especially in the South, right, Bill Clinton? And there was a way to get them filled. And when you walked by or jogged by or rode the bus by the Department of Justice, what you found out, it was just us. Right? So, it is the black conservatives that I'm talking about, or so-called conservatives I'm talking about, Blexit, Candace Owens, Brandon Tatum, and a few others, that seem to have these audiences that they want to placate and are afraid somehow of being, quote, too black, end quote. They're the ones who got it wrong. And I'll tell you why they got it wrong. They got it wrong because if indeed, for their own purposes, Blexit exists to have black people walk away, hashtag walk away, from the Democrat Party. And I still believe that black people should really evaluate who you support politically. You should evaluate what they say. You should evaluate what they've done, what they continue to do, what they continue to stand by, what they continue to stand for, and see if it matches up to where you are. And I don't think as a group, if we could do that, I hate to think in group think or that everybody's this monolith, that black people are this monolithic thing. But the data says that black people vote Democrat. The data says it. And when we talk about COVID, all I've been saying for the past month is data trumps models. And that says what's real actually trumps what you think. The truth actually trumps what you think. This is what it is. And the data says that black people vote Democrat. The analytics say that. I mean, to a huge degree. Now, that degree is getting a little smaller. Some people would have you believe that it's getting dramatically smaller. I don't necessarily think so. Not at this point. And I'll tell you why. I don't think the Republican Party or the conservative movement, which are not necessarily the same thing, has done their work in the right places. Where you don't see Blexit or people from Blexit or people who are involved in that movement, even though now, and I'm going to sound a little jealous because I am. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to sound a little jealous. I'm going to sound a little bitter because I am. Even now that Candace Owens has the backing of Prager University. And that means funds. And that does mean having a little money. Not just for her, but pretty much for any project she wants to do. That what I don't see is her on, you know what, as a thing, or Blexit as a thing, in the urban community, doing the work that a lot of people are doing. Doing the work in community centers, doing the work in, you know what, advocating for things like affordable housing, on and on and on, finding out what the real needs are in the urban community, finding what the real needs are in the Black community. I don't see these people doing that kind of work. Now, everybody can't be everything. I understand that. Not everybody can. And frankly, not everybody should. You know, last October, I believe it was, I was in Los Angeles with my Urban Game Changers team. And we had two events to go to. We went to Politicon, and we went to a street festival. And I forget the name of it. Maybe I'll remember here in a little bit. And what we had to do in both of those places was very different. The street festival was a lot more like street evangelism. It's like being the street preacher. Getting in people's faces, arguing with them if you had to. And there are people who are really good at that. If you listen to this program, you'll find that I am not. That is not my specialty. That is not what I like to do. I like to be a little more calm. I like to be a little bit more analytic. I like to be a little slower. I like the give and go, the back and forth a little bit in a respectful manner. But if you're in the street and you only have a few seconds with somebody, you got to go ahead and you got to preach the gospel. You got to preach the gospel right now. I understand that. So at the two events, it was Politicon when we were inside and you could sit down with somebody and you could talk to them in a conversational tone. And then you can invite them to a panel discussion, and you could bandy the ideas back and forth in that environment. I did a lot better in. I'm going to tell you, I did a lot better in that environment. Willie, if nothing else, is self-aware. I know where my strengths are, and I know where my weaknesses are. So I understand that not everybody can be everything. There are people who are good about being pundits, and that's where they need to be. There are people who are reporters. That's where they need to be. There are people who are writers. That's where they need to be. There are people who are people in the either the audio or the visual arts. That's where they need to be. Period. That's where they need to be. And there are activists who don't really do that well outside of their activist lair, which is why when they try to do that, they come off too aggressive, they come off too angry sometimes, they come off too bitter sometimes, when it's really just passion. They're just not good at it, or as good at it as they need to be effective. So, am I asking Blexit to step out of their role? No, what I'm asking is, they now that they have means, and they have means, and they have notoriety, and they have backing, again, from PragerU, let's see if you can fulfill more what your mission, what you say your mission is, Blexit. If your mission is for Black people to exit the Democrat Party, where do you find the most people that are attached to the Democrat Party? Where are you going to go to get the most bang for your buck? Are you doing those things? Well, the obvious answer is no. The answer seems to me that Blexit is really concerned about people who watch PragerU videos, and that's got to be a part of the thing. I understand. They're really concerned about people who watch PragerU videos because that keeps the money rolling in, and I think and if you've been on lockdown and you ain't got no job, you understand about keeping the money rolling in somehow. I get it. However, when something like this, when the Ahmaud Arbery thing shows up, it is a, frankly, it's a perfect time. It's a perfect time to talk to your audience. For real. It's a perfect time to talk to your audience and say, look at this. This is not just a case about race. This is a case about freedom and liberty. This is a case about prosecutorial mishandling and bad judgment and misconduct. This is what this is about. So you wonder why this happened on February 23rd and you just found out about it 2 weeks ago. Well, because the DA in the county that Brunswick, Georgia is in, I think it's Glenn County, yeah, basically told the arresting people who were ready to arrest the McMichaels not to. Why? Well, she had worked with the elder McMichaels when he was a police officer. And I guess she was just giving them the benefit of the doubt. When the police officers that were on the scene had basically thought that they had at least enough evidence in what they saw at the scene to arrest McMichaels. They did not get arrested until after the video came out. And then we started this, and then you heard from the Blexit crowd, from Candace and Brandon and any number of them, we need to wait until all the facts come out. Well, what fact do you need to see? Here's a young man, and when we popped into their lives, he was walking, jogging, running, whatever. He was traversing down a public thoroughfare, which he has rights to do unimpeded by just Joe regular citizen. Now, just because the elder McMichaels was an ex-cop doesn't mean that he had any way to stop this person from going from where he was to going to where he wants to be. Now, before you start, I know that there are citizen arrest laws in Georgia. Georgia has some pretty arcane laws, and they have these citizen arrest laws where citizens do have the power to make a citizen's arrest under certain conditions. And it seems like, from what we know, that these conditions were not met. You understand what I'm saying? So it was a perfect time to sort of shake up your audience. And I got to tell you, most of Blexit's audience is not black. It's white conservatives. Most of the people who watch the Candace Owens program are not black. They're white conservatives. They're white followers of Dennis Prager. And I like Dennis Prager. I always have. When I had my radio program on a local radio station, which was in Salem Broadcasting Nation, I got a chance to meet Mr. Prager, and he's wonderful. Wonderful. He is a delightful man. And I like PragerU, and they've got more videos out there than just political videos. They've got videos on science. They've got videos on religion. They've got, they do a tremendous job. They teach you more in 5 minutes than a lot of people can teach in an entire semester. And the fireside chats with Dennis and that damn dog are wonderful. So I really don't have anything against Dennis Prager. But Blexit now has a benefactor, something that a lot of us who have been in this black conservative movement for a long time have never had. We've never had a benefactor. Now they've got a benefactor. And an audience and a platform. That now, and what's missing, and what they're missing is this, and this is how they got it wrong. Their audience is more ready for what I'm saying than they believe. So they missed it. So they missed an opportunity to connect with black people, especially black people who live their lives fairly conservatively. They missed an opportunity to connect with their own audience that a lot of them agree with me. And it's a shame. So when I see them pushing back against the narrative that the McMichaels, both the father and the son, and the person who is videoing the whole deal, are all guilty of felony murder, and they push back against that in some way, blaming Ahmaud Arbery for being on that property and looking around at a property under construction, and that was enough to get him murdered on the streets of this neighborhood. That by itself was enough. You got to shake your damn head. You got to go. What? You got to be kidding me. That's enough? That makes it justifiable. Arbery was no threat to them. Well, until you stop him and you point a gun at him. Now, he did make a mistake. Arbery, he made a mistake. He grabbed the barrel of a shotgun and he pulled it towards him. Now, does that make a difference? No, because if you're brandishing a weapon, which is also illegal, if you're brandishing a weapon to threaten somebody, that's illegal. And that weapon goes off and that person gets hurt or gets killed, that's on you. Negligent homicide, that's on you. So if this is what all the hippest gun people will tell you, this is what Black Guns Matter will tell you too. If you pull your weapon on somebody, you better be ready to use it. Because no one's brandishing a weapon. Because again, if it goes off accidentally and someone gets hurt or gets killed, it's on you. And you know who knew this? McMichaels. The elder McMichaels. This is what he knew. Candace, Brandon, Blexit, you got it wrong. I don't know if you can come back from it or not. I don't know if you want to. I don't know if you think that you need to. The chances of any of them hearing this podcast are, well, there's two chances, slim and none. Or there's no and no effing way. Those are the two chances that anybody who can make a decision at Prager or at Blexit will hear my little podcast here. But I wanted to make sure that the people who follow me understand where I am in this process, what I'm doing, because I know a lot of you who don't necessarily like me all that much, you hear what, you know, Candace Owens or Brandon Tatum or some of these other people say, and then you come back and you come here and then you want to paint me in the same colors as other people. A lot of people have learned that that's not really the thing to do with me here on Blog Talk Radio. A lot of people have already learned that. And maybe you're learning it. You're learning it too for the first time today. But in any case, that's where that is. I hope that things change. I probably won't comment again on that until we are a little further down the legal proceedings, until there's court and those kind of things, and hopefully that'll be sooner than later. It's already been too long. And this process has just not gone. Hopefully the Georgia Bureau of Investigations can get this thing going. And let's find out. Because we're going to find out. I want to find out before tensions get too high in Brunswick and there's more stupidity. There was a rally today. This is Saturday, April 15th. April, no, it was May. May 16th. Good God. May 16th. There was a rally today in Brunswick asking the folks in Brunswick, the legal people, to do the right thing. Now, we all have to understand that these things take a while to do. You know, people end up in jail, you know, in county jail for a while, waiting for things to go to trial or whatever. So these things naturally take way too long to do. But what we want people to understand is that I want the Georgia legal system to come down on the side of freedom, come down on the side of justice, come down on the side of liberty, where a person can traverse a public street without being accosted, without being shot. I want that for everybody. Yes, and some of you are saying, did I see some of the subsequent videos? Yes, I did. And I'm going to mention them briefly, and then we're going to get out of here. Yes, I saw some of the subsequent videos. And some of the subsequent videos showed a lot of people, kids and the like, going up into that yard and peering into this house that was under construction. And no, it didn't seem like the McMichaels were interested in stopping them. They only, apparently, as far as we know, stopped Ahmaud Arbery. Wonder why that is. All right, we're going to get out of here and make room for somebody else. Well, thank you so much for coming to the program today. I want to thank those great people who continue to help us. My friend Christine Vasconcello at Blooming Days Flower Shop, www.bloomingdays.com. And I'll tell you what, she has been a trooper through all of this COVID-19 nonsense, just still giving, still working, still struggling, still winning. So proud of Christine Vasconcello. So if you're in the area, if you're here in the Tampa Bay area, and you want to help out a small business, Christine Vasconcello at Blooming Days Flower Shop. Awesome, awesome. And if you want to know more about this program and everything about FightBackMedia.com, you got to go to FightBackMedia.com, FightBackMedia.com, FightBackMedia.com. We got lots going on. We got all sorts of partners. We got my friend Paul Swanson of the Swanson Report. The link to his blog is there. New partners like Kevin and Janelle Batts of Red River TV and 46 and the 46 News there on the website. My new friend Tim Bryce of timbryce.com. And we are building a Tampa Bay Conservative Tampa website. There'll be a link to that on the website sometime this coming week. Things are happening. We are thriving in a time of drought. Thank you ever so much for all you do for us. So until we see you again, go out there and learn something, love somebody, and for goodness sakes, y'all take care of yourself. We'll see you when we see you. Bye-bye now.